Hello and good morning and welcome to Believers Faith Connection broadcast this morning. I am so happy that we are able to join together this Sunday morning, hallelujah, of 2024. What a blessing, a great blessing. It's a brand new year and I'm ready. I'm sure you are ready for it as I am. Well, it's good morning here in the United States. It might be, I don't know, good afternoon in Kenya or wherever we are watching around the world. It may be a different time zone, but in any rate, glory to God, we are here in 2024 to celebrate the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. But just before we dive into our subject or message this morning, I would like us to come and pray with you at your house, at your home. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you the praise and I give you the glory. Thank you, Father, for enabling us to see a great year again of 2024. Thank you for the families out there. Thank you for your anointing and your love. Thank you for your blessings upon each and every person. Father, I come in agreement if there is anyone out there, any believer, Lord, going through some situations, the Lord, I come in agreement for your power to enable them, Lord God, or even to heal them. And those that need wisdom on direction, that you grant them direction because of your goodness and because of your love. I thank you for encouraging those who are discouraged this morning. I thank you for strengthening those that need strength this morning. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' wonderful name. And God bless you. And welcome again to Believers Faith Connection broadcast, hallelujah, this morning. I am excited about the Lord. I'm excited, really, truly excited about what he is about to do, even for many lives, hallelujah, as we dig deeper. The Lord has been talking to me and dealing with me to talk about the anointing. And therefore, today, we have a message that I would like to bring out, and that is on the anointing. The message is today is the anointing. Glory to God, and I'm excited about it. It's understanding God's anointing and how to handle it. Understanding God's anointing and how to handle it. Ladies and gentlemen, just before even I go very far, I would like to say that anointing of God is everything in our lives. I say again, the anointing of God is everything in our lives. And if there is anything that the enemy fights more, is that you grieve the anointing or grieve the Holy Ghost. And we are going to talk about the relationship here. And therefore, we are going to dig deeper here into this subject matter. Glory to God. Get a pencil, get a paper, or even take a snapshot of what this message, what we are talking about, because I have scriptures. As a matter of fact, right now, I'd like you to open your Bibles into the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Hallelujah. Glory to God, and you will be blessed. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. We are talking again about the message today is about understanding the anointing and how to handle it. Hallelujah. The Bible says here, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, glory to God, abideth in you. The anointing that you have received in him abideth in you. I want to emphasize that, abideth where? In you, not in anybody else, but in you. And you need not any man teach you, but as same anointing enables believers to have a spiritual connection with their Heavenly Father. Let me read the scripture again. But the anointing which you have received in him abideth in you, and you need not any man to teach you, but as the same anointing teaches all things and is truth and no lie, and even if he has taught you, you shall abide in him. Next scripture, I'd like you to open your Bibles, and I'm going to just bring it out there, is in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has what? Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight, hallelujah, to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And this is Jesus himself quoting actually what was written there in Isaiah chapter 60. Hallelujah, glory to God. And the next scripture that, and we are just laying foundation with the scriptures, is there is one found in James chapter 5, verse 14, which says, is any sick among you, let him what? Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And then Mark chapter 6 and verse 13, the Bible says this, hallelujah, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Glory to God forever. And now I'd like us to look at the scriptures in the Old Testament. Again, this is just a foundation as we discuss this message on understanding the anointing and how to handle it. So open your Bible to the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, hallelujah, glory to God. We'll normally go with a lot of scriptures here, but just to lay the foundation. The Bible says that Moses, Leviticus 8:10, and Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and that was therein and sanctified them. Leviticus 8:12, and he poured all the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Glory to God. Exodus chapter 40, verse 9. These are all scriptures on your screen. And thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all there is therein, and shall hallow it and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, for this, I would like to talk about the anointing, first of all, in the Old Testament, which I would like to say that there is what we call the ceremonial anointing in the Old Testament, the ceremonial anointing. Hallelujah, glory to God. And let me just come up here so that I can talk a little bit about this. This, ladies and gentlemen, the ceremonial anointing was a common ceremony in the Old Testament, very common. And it was a physical act which involves the smearing or the wrapping or the pouring of sacred oil on someone's hand as an outward symbol that God had chosen and set them apart for a particular work in the ministry or a particular task that they were to perform. Glory to God. Now, this process was referred in Hebrew as Meshach or Mashach. Maybe you pronounce it better, but it's Mashach. Hallelujah. And the Hebrew term Mashach simply means to anoint or to smear with oil. The oil for religious anointing was carefully blended with fine spices in the Old Testament and according to a specific formula which was prescribed by the Lord or by God himself. And you can read that further. We don't have a lot of time because I want to get into some things here in the book of Exodus. You can read that further in the book of the Exodus chapter 30, verse 22 through 32. Now, it is very important to understand that when they use or when you use this oil or when using this oil, basically, it was sacred. It was very official. It was sacred oil and you cannot just play with it. As a matter of fact, there was a penalty or a serious offense carrying the penalty of being cut off from the community if you played with this. In other words, using this oil for any other purpose was a serious offense in the Old Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, and we, it's important that we know that. And the reason why we need to know that is because we have people that want to play around with the anointing. And we are going to talk about the anointing in the New Testament so that you understand that it is a very serious thing. Hallelujah. Now, the kings and the priests in the Old Testament, and I think I'm going to bring my notes here, because I like to work with them here, and say this, that the kings and the priests and the prophets, kings, priests, and prophets, hallelujah. Now we are talking about the anointing in the Old Testament. Were anointed out to Andre, and I put it on the screen because I thought it was very important, to symbolize a more profound spiritual reality that God's presence was with them and his favor was upon them. And you can read this, ladies and gentlemen, more in Psalms, the book of Psalms chapter 20 verse 6 and Psalms 28 and verses 8. We see that while David was still a young shepherd tending the sheep, God told Samuel to anoint him to become king over Israel. There in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We also see that from that day forward, the Spirit of the Lord rested powerfully upon David's life after he was anointed to be the king of Israel. Now, with that said, I would like us to I would like to talk a little bit about the anointing in the New Testament, the anointing in the New Testament, because it's important after we after we discuss about the anointing in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, I would like you to open your Bibles first of all to 1 John chapter 2 and verses 20. Glory to God. It says this, through Jesus Christ, believers receive an anointing. And I mean, this is not exactly what it says, but it's what basically is saying. Through Jesus Christ, believers receive an anointing from the Holy One. And now this anointing is not expressed as an outward ceremony like in the Old Testament, but through sharing in the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what is most important. And that's what I wanted to explain to you today. Because I think it's vitally important to understand the differences. Ladies and gentlemen, when you got born again, you received the indwelling. Actually, Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, and therefore you have Holy Spirit. You have the anointing of God inside of you. As to how he manifests himself is totally dependent on how you yield to God and how you yield to the Holy Spirit. I say again, at the moment of salvation, believers are indwelt by Holy Spirit and joined to Christ. I am going to be repeating some very important points here because it is important that you understand this. As a result, we partake of God's anointing. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus, Holy Spirit came to live inside of you. You have the measure. You have the anointing of God in you. Hallelujah. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. According to one scholar, the anointing expresses the sanctifying influence of the Holy Spirit upon Christians who are priests and kings unto God today. Now, in the Old Testament, there were real priests and kings and prophets. In the New Testament, hallelujah, the evangelists, the pastors, the preachers, and all those, hallelujah, have that mark of the anointing because they are set apart, hallelujah, just as the priests and kings in the Old Testament. So we have in the New Testament those who are in the fivefold ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to God. However, I would like you to know that there is a great emphasis on the New Testament because the anointing is just not for a few, because as a believer and if you receive Jesus Christ, you got the anointing. There is an emphasis that as long as we have the Holy Spirit, then we have the anointing. And that is important to know. If you are out there and you are born again and you receive Jesus Christ, then there is a measure, there is an anointing of God that is in you. God has given every believer in Christ the anointing, the anointing. Hallelujah. When he or she got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can also read there in Acts chapter 2 that when they were in one place, in one accord, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in other tongues, even as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. I have so much to cover here today, and I want to bring it out. Now, the main purpose of the anointing, and we are going to talk about the benefits of the anointing and how to really protect the anointing. But the main purpose of the anointing in a believer in Christ today is the anointing is meant to propel. Hallelujah. Let me bring this out because you probably need to read this with me. The anointing is meant to propel a believer in Christ to do great exploits in God's kingdom. However, a believer must avoid actions and attitudes that can quench the anointing in their lives. And we are going to talk about quenching the anointing, how you can really quench the anointing. And unfortunately, many do. But we are going to talk about it in a detail today. Hallelujah. Karabash karabrevre deviandarabosh kalemana. Hallelujah. Now, another important thing that here we are going to understand or talk about is the benefits of the anointing. Benefits of the anointing. But just before I talk about the benefits of the anointing, let me say that in Mark chapter 6, verse 13, when Jesus sent out his disciples to preach the gospel, the Bible says that they cast out many demons and healed many sick people, anointing them with olive oil. Also in James chapter 5, verse 14, Apostle James instructs believers to call the elders of the church to pray over them when they are sick and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord for healing. Now, the reason why I have to say this is because you need to understand and you need to realize that there is plenty of emphasis and it's in order that in the New Testament, whenever someone is sick, that you can use the anointing oil and pour all on them, because it is also an instruction in the Bible, and we can see the manifest power of God, even the healing power of God. Now, the reason why that is not done on every occasion that somebody is sick, you have the anointing oil, is because you realize we already have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we have the anointing of God in us. Hallelujah. But also, you can use oil and just sprinkle oil or pour oil on somebody's head and pray with them as well, because it's in order. In the New Testament, Jesus reveals himself as the anointed king, as the priest, and as a prophet. I realize I needed to talk and mention about this a little bit about Jesus Christ, because in the New Testament, we cannot talk much about without mentioning the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, because the church, that's where it started. Jesus Christ is God's holy and chosen son. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls him the Messiah. In fact, the Messiah means the anointed one. The Messiah means the anointed one. And is derived from the Hebrew word for anointing, Christos, means the anointed one. If you notice at the launching of Jesus' ministry, he said, the Spirit of the Lord, again quoting Isaiah 60, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has what? Anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and the recovery of sight, ladies and gentlemen, for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. Now, we read that in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, but literally is from Isaiah 61 and all that. So we see that Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament prophecy as the anointed one, the chosen Messiah, hallelujah, and he proved his anointing on that he was anointed through the miracles and signs and wonders that he did, ladies and gentlemen, and that is notable. So through Jesus Christ, then, believers also receive an anointing from the Holy One. And now with that said, I would like us to look at the benefits of the anointing, the benefits of the anointing. Now, there are many benefits of the anointing, and I have put them on your screen because it is important that you see them. The anointing enables a man to do things he could not do on his own. There are many people who say, how did you do that? Or how do so-and-so in the ministry handle this kind of ministry or do those kind of things? Now, one of the major things to be specific about the anointing is discernment. People who honor and respect the anointing of God upon their lives, you realize they are high discernment. They can discern things very quickly, and therefore they, and you know, today, especially in our generation, we really need discernment. Because there is so many things, and even, so to say, ministry and preaching and teaching. And you need to know what kind of teaching this is and what kind of this teaching is. There are so many doctrines out there. So when we talk about the anointing, and again, for those who are joining me or those who will see this, is we are talking about understanding the anointing and how to handle it. Hallelujah. Number two, pray in the spirit. Now you say, why is it important? I don't even pray in the spirit. Well, because it is important that you pray in the spirit, because you are praying the perfect will of God when you pray in the spirit, ladies and gentlemen. There is a lot to talk about. You can go on our website and you can look at the teachings I taught on Holy Spirit and why it's important. Also, the anointing enables you to live a righteous life. You remember before you got born again, before you were born into the kingdom of God, you used to live a lifestyle that was not pleasant to God. There were things you wanted to cut off from doing, but you could not do, you could not cut it off. Those who used to drink, you'll be tempted to drink sometimes all night long and do a lot of things. Hallelujah. You tried to quit, some of you tried to quit some things and you could not. Hallelujah. But when you got born again, glory to God, those things were cut off because of what? Of the anointing. Therefore, you live a righteous life. What is a righteous life? You are right, the right standing with God. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit, when you grieve Him, when you grieve the anointing, you'll know it. When you do something that you are not supposed to know to do, you know it. You know it from your inner self. Why? Because you got God inside of you. Also, the anointing strengthens a believer. The anointing strengthens a believer, ladies and gentlemen. Let me say this. There are so many things that we want to do, but we cannot do it in our strength. Hallelujah. Let me come here. Something sometimes I like to talk when I'm close by. There are things that people want to do in this life, and they try to do them in their abilities and in their strength, but it is not possible. But with the anointing, I say with the anointing, you are strong. You can read that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, that your inner man is strengthened because of the anointing, the power of God. Hallelujah. Number six. To live in joy. The anointing enables a believer to live in joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You can read further in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Glory to God. Also, the anointing will enable you to live in hope. Glory to God. The anointing will enable you to live in hope. You can read that further in Romans chapter 15 and verses 13. The anointing will also help you to, looking at Numbers 8, I believe, to receive spiritual gifts. They are gifts that God has given to us. Hallelujah. That because of those gifts, you are able to do things by the Spirit of the living God. So we need the anointing of God. And finally, to bear the fruit of the Spirit. The anointing will enable you to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. All those are important because they are the benefits of the anointing. Now, if the anointing then is so important in our lives, I say the anointing is so important in our lives, then don't you think that we need to know how to protect this anointing? So we are going to talk about how do you protect, how do you safeguard, how do you guard this anointing? Because if something is valuable to you and God has given it to you, I believe it is important that you know how to protect it. If God has given you something, you can't just say, well, whatever. And I have seen that happen. You know, people start out with a lot of power, especially in ministry, and a lot of hunger for God, and then it tends to win out because they do not know how to really protect this. Now, so it is important. Let me come back here. Because I want to share this with you, but I want to share it from the screen. They are what we call the killers of the anointing and how to avoid them. And as a part of this is where we are going to talk about protecting the anointing. And this is the most important part of this message. If there was anything that you need to take out of this message, is this part here. Number one, a critical spirit. There is nothing that will kill the church, that will kill a revival faster than a critical spirit getting into the hearts and minds of a congregation. There is nothing that will kill a family more than a critical spirit. And we need to be careful about the things we say so that we will only be building people and not tearing them apart. We need to be positive about our family, our church, our pastors, our leaders, and even our outlook in life. Why? Because criticism will destroy the anointing. I wish I can say that cuttingly. Criticism will destroy the anointing more than anything else. Ladies and gentlemen, I have witnessed this myself, even in a ministry, where you have a few individuals who are criticizing leaders. Listen, not all leaders are, actually I would like to say that, nobody is perfect. And if you think you are perfect, you need some help. Only Jesus Christ is perfect. If you see a fault, if you see something wrong in your leadership or in your pastor or in your evangelist or in a prophet, God does not want you to be critical. God wants you to restore them through prayer. Go and pray for them. Go and encourage them. Go and say, Lord, I need you to touch so-and-so and bless them. They are my pastors. They are my leaders. They are my this, but they have this. Let me tell you something. Many have lost even lives because of touching. The Bible says, do not touch the anointed, nor do him any harm. And people that go playing with this, you never understand that if God has placed somebody in a position, just like he did Moses or Elijah or Elisha, it's not because they are perfect, it's that God needs them to help the people. And your responsibility is not to criticize them, but to pray for them. I wish I can emphasize that more and more. And I pray that you'll be able to share this broadcast, and this will go and spread to so many people that needs to hear this. Critical spirit is number one killer of the anointing of God. And we need to protect the anointing by not being critical. Glory to God. Number two. Hallelujah. Marital problems. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been preparing this seriously by the Spirit of the Lord. When I talk about marital problems, and let me bring it here so you can read briefly with me. Let's look at, first of all, Malachi chapter 2, verse 15 said, to heed to your spirit. Where did the prophet say this? Because if you mistreat and disrespect your spouse, it will destroy the anointing on your life, and you can't even pray when things like this happen. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, this is not my ones, this is by the Spirit of God. The Bible says, likewise, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. And he's talking about spouses, your wives. According to knowledge, giving honor unto wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be heeded. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not just talking about the normal day-to-day misunderstandings. Those are there. Every marriage has normal day-to-day misunderstanding. People argue over petty things that don't matter. That's normal. Even in the best marriages, you'll find even the evangelists, the preachers, the pastors, if you follow them closely, you find those things. But the extreme arguing, bitterness, and anger against one another, that's what we are talking about. We must deal with the spirit of unforgiveness and in our lives to be able to have marital harmony. Can I say that again for the record? We must deal with the spirit of unforgiveness. You forgive your sons, you forgive your daughters, you forgive your spouses, and you pray for them. We are talking about protecting the anointing that is so important in one's life. There is nothing more important, especially to me, and I must say this before everybody, more important than the anointing of God. And whatever it takes, if you have to walk off, if you have to do whatever it takes to protect it, that's what you gotta do. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's important. All right, let's continue. Number three. Killer of the anointing is depression. Depression. Now, right now, even as I speak, may I pray for those who are depressed, that the spirit of joy will come upon you. The Bible says in Philippians, hallelujah, let me come up here, glory to God. In Philippians 4:6-7, and this is, I'm quoting, but you can go read it. Be anxious for nothing. Those who are suffering anxiety right now, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let the peace of God, let your request be known unto him. And then the peace of God will come and take over. Like I said, I'm just paraphrasing, but you need to read that. If you're walking around and always seeing the bad in life, again, remember I talked about criticism. By the way, depression also can be the fruit of being critical. If you're walking around only seeing the bad in people's life, talking about the bad in people's life, they depress me, they make me sick, they make me this. Hey, we got Christians talking like this. Listen. Then it will destroy the anointing in your life. Would you want the anointing of God that is so precious, that is protecting you, to be destroyed because you're walking around just depressed and therefore depressing everybody else? You are depressed, therefore you want somebody else depressed so that you can flow together. No, we should cultivate the joy of the Lord, the real joy in our lives, by praising God for every situation. And by trusting him for his interventions. What has God done for you? Has God done anything good for you? Has God delivered you? Has God saved you from even things you made a mess out of? And God came and helped you, and now you're on the other side. Can you just start praising, Lord, I magnify. Lord, I glorify. Lord, I bless you. Who is like unto you, my God? Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for washing me with your precious blood. I give you praise. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be grateful and to be full of joy. The joy of the Lord should be your strength. And then, we look at number four, glory to God. The killer of the anointing, number four. I'm going to bring it right there for you. Pride and stubbornness. Pride and stubbornness. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we go along and God want to just speak a message to really bless you and lift you up. But there are times when you bring correction because he corrects the ones he loves. And today I feel like he's doing the same thing. In 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23, the Bible says this, for rebellion is the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Now I did not say that. The Bible says that. And we are instructed to follow after humility, Jesus, after humility of Jesus, because pride, the Bible actually says pride comes before a fall. See, a prideful man walking in pride and arrogance, let me tell you about that person. It don't be long before they fall. Just watch them. Some of you, God blesses you a little bit and you have a little blessing, and then you start walking in pride and nobody can touch you now. You got a brand new car, the latest this, the latest this, and the latest that. Let me tell you something. These are temporary. You better humble yourself and praise the Lord who has given you those things, who has enabled you to enjoy those things, other than walking in pride. Pride comes before a fall and it will destroy many. Stubbornness and arrogance will pull a man down and destroy the anointing in their life so quickly, it's not even funny. And you don't need to pray with that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I look like I'm not going to be talking much, a lot more on this broadcast. But finally, I want us to look at something else that will really affect the anointing, or the killer of the anointing, and how to avoid it. Is unrighteousness. Unrighteousness. I'd like to take a little time and talk about this subject because it's important. So many people start well, like I said. When you get born again, you start so well. You start with glory of God. I remember when I got born again, I prayed all night. I was so on fire for God. I wanted, some of you remember the meetings you used to attend, even the overnight meetings in Africa. We used to have what we call overnight meetings. And you are just out there worshiping and you are on fire for God. You can handle it. Even when pastor dismisses, you didn't want to go. What happened? All forms of sexual sins and all kind of unrighteousness and ungodly behavior will grieve the Holy Spirit and will destroy the anointing in a man's life. Most people who have gone up and climbed the ladder and have been there now, and they started just living funny lives, especially now with the internet. People clinging into so many things. People listening to people who don't even know the Lord. And they fall into unrighteous sin, into unrighteousness. It will destroy the anointing of God so fast it's not even funny. Samson, ladies and gentlemen, lost the anointing because of sexual sins and ungodly behavior. Now, I'm talking about Samson, but we can talk about so many other things. When we talk unrighteousness, we talk about unrighteousness. You see, the word holy today is not used in charismatic as much. God calls us to live a holy life, to be holy because he is holy. But how many people are talking about holiness? You know, people are being pampered and all that. And I don't know why, because people need to know that. You know, I say this to myself. And I thank God for the church I came from, my pastor. I'd rather hear the truth, even when I don't do it. But an evangelist, I may change my way and course so that I can do what is right for the kingdom of God. And within me, and yes, all of us have issues. And sometimes, like I said, we are not perfect. But within my heart, inside of me, I want to live right. I don't want to engage in things that don't matter and then destroy the anointing. The anointing is what has built me to where I am. The anointing is what has caused me to be what I am. The anointing is what has caused me to breathe today. The anointing is what has caused me to live well today. The anointing is what has restored me today. After going through a lot, even death in my family. And so if somebody comes to mess with the anointing in my life, that's the greatest offense. Because the anointing of God is everything in my life. I eat, I drink, I dress, I move because of the anointing. Am I perfect? No, neither are you. But we need to be careful and protect the anointing. Because if we have received the anointing, we need to cherish and jealously, I say jealously, guide it, lest you lose it. Ladies and gentlemen, when you walk in the anointing, yokes are destroyed. When you walk in the anointing, the work that you are doing, even when you're working for somebody, becomes easier. A lot of you are tired. You're saying, I'm going to this job and this is this and that's that. But when you walk in the anointing of God, I'm telling you, like we said about the benefits. I don't like to go back there and talk about the benefits. Lord, can I find that? I like to talk about that benefits because it's so important. The benefits of the anointing. I'm just going to finish with this. Would you like to lose these benefits in your life? Especially today in our 21st century or whatever century we are in our generation. If the anointing is going to cause you to be more, to have discernment, it's going to cause you to pray in the Spirit. By the way, when you pray in the Spirit, you are praying the language of the Father, and therefore you are able to commune with the Father directly and well. He is going to help you live a righteous life. He is going to strengthen you in your in whatever you are doing. If this anointing is going to help you to be led by the Spirit. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. If this anointing is going to help you live in joy, live in hope, to receive spiritual gifts, and also to bear the fruit of the Spirit, if this is the anointing that's going to help you do all these things, ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you this. If this is the anointing that's helping you with this thing, why would you like to grieve him? Why do you want to live a critical life? Why do you want to live prideful and stubborn? Why do you want to live in unrighteousness? Why do you want to live in depression? Would you not want to protect this anointing that is from the Holy One that he has given us? Oh, yes, you want. Yes, you want to. Let me say again. Yes, you want to. And my prayer today as I close this broadcast, humbly, I come before you. Please value the anointing of God in your life. There is no material wealth. There is nothing in this world. I don't care whether billions and billions of dollars that can buy the anointing and what the anointing is able to do in your life. You need, let me say this. You need a spiritual connection with God 24/7. And the anointing is the answer. A lot of you say, well, I don't hear from God. I don't hear from the Spirit of the Lord. It's been a while. Or I am not where I'm supposed to be. But let me tell you right now, by the Spirit of the living God, because the anointing is already here. We talked about him. Don't grieve the anointing of God in your life. From Africa to United States, I come to tell you right now, is the anointing. Only the anointing that has helped me. May I pray with you? Because many of you now are wondering, Lord Jesus, I need some help. Can I pray with you? And I'm not praying because I am perfect, okay? I am not praying because I have not missed it. But I'm praying because we all need God together. Dear Heavenly Father, build your people and your children. They want to live right. They want to obey you. Oh, I pray for their families right now. Many that will watch this via archive in their families, in their homes. There may be so many things going on behind the scenes that nobody else outside knows. But may I pray that your anointing will never leave that home. Lord, that they will welcome you. And that, Lord God Almighty, they will know that without you, there is nothing, they are nothing. I pray that you empower them, that you strengthen them. I pray for ministries, I pray for prophets, I pray for apostles, I pray for pastors, I pray for evangelists, I pray for prophets, those in the fivefold ministries who are struggling, even Lord, from their homes and even their children. So many things not right at home, that you heal their families and give you praise. And that they will value the anointing more than anything else in their lives. I give you praise and I worship you, King of Glory. I bind the spirit of selfishness. In the name of Jesus. And now I pray, Father, the healing virtue. And I'm talking about the spiritual healing. The physical healing will flow like a river right now. Some of them, Lord, because of not honoring your anointing and grieving the anointing, they are in a situation. But I thank you right now, the Lord, because of your grace and mercy, they are restored and they are healed. In Jesus' name, we plead the blood of Jesus over those families. I plead the blood of Jesus over those homes. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Now, we do not like to close our broadcast without giving you an opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And therefore, we'd like for you to pray this prayer, meaning it from your heart, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to search my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. I acknowledge you are the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, meaning you are coming back, the anointed one, the Messiah, the anointed one. I acknowledge that you came, that you died, and you are buried. But on the third day, Lord, you rose from the dead, and you are alive now, and you are coming again soon. Thank you, Lord, for writing my names now in the book of life. Thank you that I get to live with you forever. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You pray that prayer is come to live inside of you. Go in your local church today and share. Share this word with somebody, even right now, you on YouTube, whatever, please. Actually, as a matter of fact, we would encourage you to click like and share this with a friend of broadcast, with a friend or family. And God will bless you because you are enabling us to spread the gospel. Well, God bless you again, and thank you for joining me this morning. Until next Sunday, unless God speaks otherwise, we love you. But God, remember, always remember that God loves you even more in the name of Jesus. And we'll see you soon. And bye-bye.